Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it. Always.
Hello, my name is Justin DeClue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen. So what are you going to start with?
Let's start with the horrible Dr. Hickok. Now, this one is, Hitchcock? There's no T in here.
I know. So why is that? I don't know much about this film,
to be honest. It's most famous as, like, is it considered, like, it? I don't think it's Italy's first horror film, but it's the one that Riccardo Freda did and Mario Bava shot, and it's in color.
Right.
So that was a big notable thing, and it's been unavailable in a high-definition version for a very long time. Now, Olive Films put out a version.
They did.
That was the American cut.
Right.
This has both of them.
Which is good. Yeah, yeah. We sold a lot of that Olive Films version.
Those,
and I'm
those
sure,
poor guys about
well,
that
you know
one.
What? I'm sure they've all upgraded to this one.
Oh, at least this absolutely.
Is, this is a 4K disc, too, so, you know, and beautiful package here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've always been curious in this with this one, but never gotten around to checking it out.
Wait.
But I guess I waited for the right time.
Why is the, like, much fancier version the same price as this one of the next movie we're talking about?
I mean, they're both fancy,
okay.
Kind of. I mean, they're both hard boxes.
Yes.
I think they're both
But they're different
boxes.
Kind of hard boxes.
They are.
One
they
of them
are.
Is much better than the other one.
That's true. That's true.
But anyway, I won't talk about that movie until we go through the special features of this one, because it's everything you would want. High definition version, 4K. It's got Nathaniel Thompson doing commentary. Where's Tim Lucas on here? Does he do Vinegar Syndrome stuff? I don't think he does.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
To Ricardo Freda commentary without Tim Lucas. He did stuff. Wait, where were the Joe Sarno films from?
Film Movement?
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
He worked on those ones?
Yeah. Not Vinegar Syndrome. They're almost going. There's a lot of special features here, but this big box of text has that indicator
so
like
much, so yeah. much text on the back of it.
Contains the 87-minute original feature presentation of the horrible Dr. Hickok, presented in HDR, newly restored, and that's like in the special features box. So if you glance at it, you're like, oh. Scene-specific commentary track was Barbara Steele. That's cool. I mean, if you are interested in this film, pick it up.
I mean, there was a lot of interest in this. I remember this was one of the ones that
is one of their Paramount films,
like months prior that this was happening, and we were getting tons of interest right away. So they knew what they were doing with this.
Even though there's so many gothic films out right now.
So many. I just can't keep them straight.
Yeah. I was looking at
the Danza Macabre set last
week too. I was looking at it and thinking, I have that first one.
Yeah.
I haven't watched those movies. I'm not buying the second one. I can.
And that is the right way to approach it.
Yeah.
I like that you're staying to your box set rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if it's a volume two.
Yeah. Most people don't follow that.
If there was a spaghetti western, though, I would probably buy it, even though I haven't watched all the other ones.
Yeah.
I'd probably look at them and go like, do I need these ones?
Well, let's see. You have to at least watch one in the first box.
Shout Factory announced a tokusatsu set online yesterday.
Right.
That has like seven movies.
As well as Jill Rips with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, the Anthony Hickok film, which I reviewed a couple weeks ago.
They are putting that out as one of their exclusive titles.
And I put it in my cart. I even went all the way to the end. And the shipping was so much that I went, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. And like,
well,
people pointed
they
out
they ship to Canada now.
Yeah, they do. It didn't at first. It gave me an error.
Oh, okay.
So I had to change the postal code. Like, they don't want the space in the postal code. And once I did that, it was accepting it. They changed the name of the movies. Like, there's one that's called The Golden Bat. And people pointed out it's actually, like, The Golden, like, Bato. Like, it's Bat.
Okay.
And they changed it to The Golden Ninja?
Like your label.
Yeah, or The Gold Ninja. Okay. Why?
Who gets that job?
And no special features either. They're just like,
film.
Here, take these, like, six movies. They don't care. They found, like, oh, if we release them online, we say it's limited.
I mean, that unlawful entry thing that we just talked about sold like gangbusters. They did a second run
and
of
it sold out already.
It sold out.
Yep.
And actually special features on
did
that.
I go and see if I could add an unlawful entry to my order? Yeah, it was sold out, so I couldn't do it. And you know what? I went, this feels good.
I'm sorry. I should have pushed it on you more back when I was like,
I would have said no.
You're going to want this.
I would have said no. Next up, Vinegar Syndrome is putting out Southern Comfort.
Walter Hill, baby. Everybody loves Walter Hill these days.
I bought such an expensive Kino release. Remember when they put it out? Or Shout Factory?
Shout Factory put it out.
Yeah, Shout Factory.
Which I think was an import at the time.
It was so expensive.
It was expensive.
And it was two discs, too.
It was.
Which I have not explored all of those. I cannot justify.
You can't do this.
No.
Although, beautiful package here.
It's all right.
I like it.
I have so many boxes
like
this.
You don't like these packages?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's fine. I like it.
The novelty? is wearing a little thin.
Yeah. Okay. All yeah. Right. You're a little over. Well, for our customers, the novelty
they love
is
it.
Not wearing thin. So there you
Walter Cha does commentary. Brand new interview with Walter Hill. What is Walter Hill going to give you that's new?
Walter Cha has just got
the Walter Hill
beautiful,
guy, yeah.
Like, gig of like any Walter Hill release coming out now. He's on it.
Tons of new interviews and all the archival interviews from the previous release as well.
Yeah. Because that Show Factory release, I remember being pretty good.
Yeah,
at the
it was
time.
Good, very good.
Yeah. I mean, this is obviously that's been out of print forever. So, and yeah. I don't know if as many people were buying boutique Blu-rays back then. So,
oh, God. I'd stared at it for so
time.
Long, too.
I know.
And it was like $50.
Because it was a weird one. It wasn't domestic. I remember yeah. we had to import that from the U.S. for whatever weird reason.
I love yeah, Southern Comfort.
Great
movie. Yeah. Love it.
Very cool Deliverance style military guys being.
Yeah.
You know, chased around by hillbillies.
I will buy The Driver when Vinegar Syndrome puts it out.
They're going to do it.
They're absolutely going to do it.
It's a
yeah.
Fox title.
It's a right? Is it a Fox title?
Yeah. Unless the rights have changed, but yeah. that was the whole reason I thought it hadn't come out.
Oh.
Although Twilight Time, I believe, put it out.
They did put it out.
Once upon a time.
And I can live with not owning it.
Yeah,
like, I'm not.
That's fine.
I've seen The Driver. The Driver was
like the, Driver.
The yeah. second film or third film I showed at the in-house Laser Blast Film Society.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nobody knew what it was.
It's weird because now it seems like
yeah,
everybody
knows
Driver,
what it is,
you know.
Great especially because after Baby Driver,
yeah.
we got Driver
well,
fever.
I guess after Drive came out and yeah. then Baby Driver, you know, people were like, "Well, they're clearly taking from the Driver."
So there's a new label that Vinegar Syndrome has. I thought this is the NFB logo.
Is it really?
Like, doesn't
it's,
it look like
similar
it?
Similar to it
because it's like the eye.
Well, that's the new logo for Cinematograph.
Yeah. What if it was like, we got a new label. We're only releasing ONF titles, which is the French, because it's cinematographic.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be good. They're really pouring their money in the right place.
No, these are Universal film? No, Paramount. Wait,
Paramount.
This is Universal.
Oh, this is Universal. This is Paramount. So basically this label, I mean, this is essentially just Vinegar Syndrome,
yeah.
but under a fancier label. And to put out what they call, I think in their terms is, you know, kind of forgotten... Red Rock West here
yes.
in front of us, which we definitely didn't talk about recently, right?
And
so
wait.
This is a funny one.
What is going on with this case? Like, I pulled it out and I was like, ooh, cool.
Well,
it's like a book.
The reason this one's open, because interestingly enough, these are shrink wrapped releases from Vinegar Syndrome doesn't usually shrink wrap their releases.
What do you mean, shrink wrap?
Like shrink wrap.
Oh, shrink wrap as opposed
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah. Like just put, I mean, they shrink wrap the discs.
Yeah, you don't get Gold Ninja Video style, no shrink wrap
yeah, yeah,
on
yeah.
them. Yeah.
No, we just got a copy of Red Rock West that mistakenly did not have a disc in the case. So that's why this is open.
Wait, but is the hub not connected to the...
I think so. I think that's just how it is.
That's very odd.
But the Justin Liberté
yeah.
runs this... I mean, he does...
He runs all of Vinegar
Syndrome. He runs all
Vinegar
Syndrome,
yeah.
but this is his...
King Vinegar
this
Syndrome.
This is his baby here. He did a post about these disc holder things. And
okay.
That they did some research or whatever, and that's what he wanted to go with. So
I've got
to
say...
I don't know.
I'm not a fan... of booklets that have multiple pages of stills from the movie.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Red Rock West came out in December from Umbrella.
Yes. An Australian company.
Australian company.
Yeah.
And a very nice release.
But it was not a new transfer.
It was not.
Yeah.
But you watched it. It looks
yeah,
it
looks good.
It out, right?
yeah.
It looks good.
This is what... Someone was talking about that in the Discord recently, the Important Cinema Club, and
yeah.
I said, if you watch it and it looks good, then you're fine.
Then you're fine.
Yeah. Because you'll find problems and stuff like... Like, when you watch some, what's that Italian company that does the remasters? You know what I'm... They look very brown. That when you watch them.
Oh, yeah.
Bologna, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know
like,
what you're talking about.
If I watch the trailer, I'm like, oh, like, it looks bad or it looks soft or it looks
yeah.
something. But, like, it looked fine.
Yeah.
But it wasn't 4K, and this is 4K, right?
No, it's not.
Wow.
So that's the thing. This isn't even 4K.
Wait, but this is 4K pricing.
No, it's cheaper.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's a little cheaper. So this is Blu-ray. Apparently the reason that it is Blu-ray, they said the original elements weren't strong enough to do a 4K.
Oh, interesting.
But they did say, in classic Vinegar Syndrome style, this is going to be the best looking version ever, though.
Okay.
So don't buy that Umbrella version. They didn't say that, but they
that's implied,
said.
Yeah.
But it was funny because everybody's already bought that Umbrella version, my dudes. Like, they didn't announce this till like...
Do you think they bought this one as well?
Early January. That's the question. I mean, I didn't bring in a ton of these because we
yeah.
sold so many of the Umbrella ones. We've sold out of them
yeah.
at this point. They would have sold more, though, if
yeah.
they had gotten it out first. I'm not sure. I mean, I know they strategically...
Why are they strategically announced
this
yeah,
on
I don't
Nicolas
understand.
Cage's birthday.
I don't understand
so.
This. Why is this happening?
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, to be fair, this is North America and Umbrella's
yeah,
Australia.
But there,
so you have
but,
two different
but
regions.
There's, but there's like a million movies you could release. Why are like companies like... Like,
I don't know. It's this war to put it out in your region in the best possible.
But they know that in that region thing, that doesn't exist anymore because there's not enough stores.
You would think so. Yeah. But they still seem to, like, this was being advertised as like North America Blu-ray premiere.
Yeah.
So it's just like totally breezing over the umbrella version.
Yeah, but it is a North American Blu-ray premiere.
And it is. They're not lying.
How do you feel? Like, these books look nice. I don't know how I feel about the uniformity of all these releases.
I don't know. Like, I'm still... I want to buy this, and I had a copy of the Umbrella, like, ready to go, and then this, I'm like, all right, I'm going to see, like, wait till this comes in, see what it looks like. The book looks nice, like, in theory, but I don't know, you're right, there's, like, a lot of pages of stills.
And, like,
some good writing. Like,
they look like they made a decision to be classy, right?
Yeah, clearly.
Classy, minimalist.
Yep.
I don't know how I feel about that. Like,
you like it a little busier, I guess?
No, because then that makes me think of like those Shout Factory covers. It's like, oh, too busy.
Those weren't great.
But like, if you're gonna go all out, like what like a map to Red Rock West when you open it up?
Exactly.
Yeah,
could have done that.
Yeah.
They didn't. And in terms of the special, it does have different special features than the Umbrella version.
I believe it's missing some things.
Well, it's missing because wasn't there a conversation or commentary?
There's a commentary that's not on here.
Both of the Dahl brothers
or
something?
And
here they have some stuff just with John Dahl on here.
That's right. So they did a new interview and a commentary with Christopher Coppola.
Oh, yeah. Chris Coppola.
Yeah.
Love it.
The brother of Nick Cage.
Director of Deadfall.
Yeah, Deadfall. Now, they put out a Deadfall release.
See,
I am there.
See, I love Red Rock West. Yeah. And we talked about it. Love that it's coming out and everything. But until they put out... What brave company is going to put out Deadfall? Is going to put out Zandali on Blu-ray? Like, these are the real Nick Cage movies.
You know what?
Movie.
I will
Time
say...
Time to Kill? Who's going to put out Time to Kill
from
on Blu-ray?
A design aspect, I really like the ribbon that they have.
Yeah,
you
like
pull
that,
it out.
Eh?
Yeah,
I
that's
I
really
I saw you
nice.
Playing with that. Like...
Well, because I've complained about it, like the Fellini set is unmanageable, the Criterion one, because it's like, what, am I building a puzzle every time I want to watch a movie?
No, I will say Vinegar Syndrome, despite the tray thing, which is a little weird, they definitely look into their packaging and think about they try and get user-friendly packaging together. Even the Southern Comfort set is nicely put together.
Yeah, they've kind of mastered this
They
packaging.
Know how to do what they're doing, so I appreciate it.
I mean, I want those German, like, weird VHS.
You want those. Those are great. Those are great.
They also put out, and this was the number one of this new cinematic.
Yeah, this is the bigger one.
Little Darlings.
Little Darlings.
This movie rules.
Never seen it.
Very
Always
good.
Wanted to. Only existed in real crap. Physical media releases. We have like a bootleg DVD, which is just like a VHS dub rip. Mm. So I'd always kind of been waiting for a good edition of it, but I always heard this was really great and really underrated. So this is one that, you know, definitely deserves its due and it's never been out anywhere that I know of in this kind of like pristine condition.
No, never.
And
this one is 4K.
Is a UHD.
Yeah.
So I
it's
guess
cheaper
had...
than Red Rock West.
No, it's more expensive. I just don't have a price tag on it.
Oh, that's why.
Red Rock West is like $10 cheaper.
Oh.
Because it's just Blu-ray.
Interesting.
It is a 4K restoration, but just from Blu-ray. They said they could not get... I don't know. It was the materials they had.
It does not bother
the
me
materials
at all.
They had.
People know if you listen to this podcast regularly...
I don't care about 4K.
We don't care about 4K.
Really don't. We're not like those people like, no 4K, no sale.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Who
so
are those people? You know?
I mean, a lot of people. Like, you feel you need the best, even though, like, I cannot tell by the naked eye. I say this every time I talk about 4K. If you zoom in, you can tell the difference.
Yeah.
It'll go fuzzy, but you're not doing that. And even if you're blowing it up on the screen, like, most of the viewing you've done digitally has been in the 2K realm for most of your life.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to people, but that's the truth. Like, all right. So. Next up, we have Canadian International Pictures' release of One Man. And it's this week's Blind Buy.
Woo, woo, woo! Returning to Canadian International Pictures for Blind Buy. We haven't done a Blind Buy for them in a while.
Yeah.
I feel like we did pretty frequently.
At the beginning, I think
at
they
the
were almost every week.
We're pretty high on them because, you know, we're Canadian. And we love seeing these releases.
We don't love our country, though. It's bad.
No,
evil.
Yeah, our country sucks. But our filmmaking history, great!
Great!
Yeah, love to see it come out.
And so this is one I've never heard about before.
Really? I thought you would have been... Because this is an NFB film.
It is, and it won many Canadian Screen Awards.
It did. I was aware of it by title, but I've never seen this one.
So this is a story of a reporter in Montreal played by Len Carew. Do you know who that is?
Yes, he is. He's something. I was like, yes, I do. And now I've forgotten. I was looking him up. He
was on like Murder, She Wrote or something like that,
was.
Right?
He was on like a TV show or something. Mm-hmm. Or worked with David Cronenberg. I mean, everything.
The concerned citizen in this movie, Carol Lazar, was in The Fly. It says right here.
Oh, he's on Blue Bloods.
Oh, so now he's on Blue Bloods.
Yeah, he's been on Blue Bloods for 13 years.
Woo!
He's just, you know, a working man. He's been in a lot of stuff.
He is, in this movie, you know what he feels like?
I think this was his first performance, actually.
In a feature film.
Yeah.
He feels like a Canadian Michael Moriarty in this.
He does.
He kind of looks like it.
Yeah. I thought he was pretty good in this.
Yeah. So this movie is about a journalist who, you know, always going for that scoop, finds out that a organization has been poisoning a hospital that has given kids basically lead poisoning.
Basically, yeah. It's basically one of those, you know, Aaron Brockovich style. Yep. I mean, China Syndrome, too. A lot of people were referencing.
This came out before China Syndrome.
It did.
So and this is China Canada style, so get ready for a bummer.
Oh, yeah. I love how much this guy is, like, willing to put his life on the line to get the scoop, though.
And
I
also,
mean, right away, there's, like, a shootout that they're, like,
I listened to the commentary by Stephen Brumer. Friend of the podcast, good old Mr. Broomer.
Yep.
And he points out that he's like, yeah, but he's not doing heroically. He's doing it because he wants
that's
a story.
Yeah. No, and that's good. And I like that. It's a little cynical like that, which I think is true.
I really like this movie. I thought it was very good.
I thought it was really great. I thought it was pretty gripping and thrilling.
Yep.
And, you know, yeah, definitely one of the more gripping 70s NFT.
The protagonist does something halfway through that you're like, what are you doing, man? Like, come on.
He puts his whole family in danger. Yeah. You know, like, he's just, yeah. And then he, you know.
Can you imagine the NFB making films like this now?
That's the thing. You watch this and it's like, I mean, you could tell it's an NFB production a bit, but.
The director, Robin Spry?
Robin Spry, yeah.
He had been an NFB guy. So that's probably the only reason that he got permission to shoot a movie like this.
Yeah, exactly.
His grandfather formed the CBC, I believe.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Don't they throw a little shade towards the CBC?
They do, a little bit,
part? Yeah, yeah, I remember.
Because the protagonist basically worked for a CBC-like company.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is a great package. We talked about early on with Canadian International Pictures that I was like, is the NFB not letting them do stuff like because there would be shorts but there would be nothing maybe that was true back when they started. Now that is not the case because there is the commentary of Stephen Brumer, who also runs Black Zero, the experimental film label. He's also very knowledgeable about Canadian cinema. And interviews with the director, who unfortunately passed away in 2005, his collaborators. There's a bunch of short films by the director, by the co-writers of this film. Yeah, so this is like the ultimate package for one man.
Very, very cool stuff. Yeah. Definitely happy with our blind buy here.
Very good. Good work.
It's just amazing, you know, just every month they just, I mean, sometimes we know the stuff they're putting out, but it's just nice to see like these Canadian films that I've never really heard of.
Something that I talked about 6 years ago and told everybody that I wish I could do that, especially with CNFB.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
But I remember first starting here, we always get asked for Canadian films at the store, and it was like, that was just the line. It was like, we'd always tell people, yeah, that's Canadian film for you. They're just like, they get lost to time. Nobody's interested in putting them out. And it's just nice to have companies like this that are.
Next up, we have Santet 1 and 2.
Did you watch either of these?
Nope, I did not.
Oh, man. I watched the first one.
Yep.
Super fun.
Indonesian horror film.
I think you would dig this. So this is from director, I'm going to mangle his name probably. So this is from director Siswaro Gautamiputra.
Mm-hmm.
Might mangle that. Who directed Serigala, which we've talked about.
Right.
The Friday the 13th.
Yes, I did not watch
rip-off.
It. That,
yeah, you did. Did we do it
as a blind buy?
Yeah, is that hilarious Friday the 13th ripoff with the martial arts? There's the speedboat chase.
Yes, I did see that.
It was fun. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Everything's new.
Everything's new.
We're old.
I promise you were very high on it when we talked about it.
Yes, because it was like a random martial arts. There was a long speedboat.
Really
Barry Prima. Yeah, and I remember.
Very cool. He also made the original Satan's Slave, which was remade by Joko Anwar several years back. I really like this guy. And this is one of his more notable films.
It's like a Black Magic one, right?
It's a Black Magic film, and it stars Susanna, who was basically...
Huge star. And none of her movies are available in English.
Legendary Indonesian scream queen of the 80s. Passed away in 2008, I believe. But yeah, she was huge. And this was, I think, one of her like more prominent roles because they made two of these. And yeah, she is a woman who basically her husband is killed by this awful, horrible guy. And this guy with power or whatever. And she runs into the forest and basically encounters half alligator, half woman demon who basically teaches her in the art of black magic so she can get her revenge.
Yeah.
which is great. There are so many gory,
cool,
like amazing gory practical effects in this. But like Srigala, he is down to just genre hop all over the place.
I love that.
There is some great, like, crude sex comedy sort of stuff in it, which is really funny. There's a whole musical number.
Love it.
Stops dead, and there's a whole musical number about the plight of the unemployed in the middle of it. This is just a really fun movie. I really dig this.
Oh, I would grab it, but what? No slipcase.
No, we got slipcases. I just cracked this. I just cracked this copy open.
Don't make me buy this, Mark.
You're going to buy it. You should buy. I think you would like this. I mean, in the second one, apparently,
I'm a little bit.
She turns into a tiger in the second
one. I think I've talked about it, that like I'm a little bit black magic, like tepid, because I find it very slow in a way that other people are like, it's crazy, it's wild.
I do think you would like this only because the black magic, while it is like the main thrust of it, there's so much else going on.
Oh, okay.
That it's really fun. And I didn't see the second one yet, but she does turn into a tiger in it. And on the main menu, they show clips of that sequence.
Yeah.
It's very like American Werewolf in London.
Ooh,
style,
I like that.
But like
I feel like
cheaper.
I've seen clips of that.
You've probably seen clips of it.
I'm very happy Indonesian films are being released.
This is awesome, and I really love this guy. I'm a big supporter of him because his films were largely produced, as was this one, by Ram Saraya, who is a huge like mega producer in Indonesia. He made Lady Terminator, which is obviously a
classic.
That's
going to get like a $65.
Right?
I think Mondo Macabro probably has
somebody's
like perpetual rights to it,
winners.
Though. Yeah.
But he's also the father of Rocky Saraya, who is making those great Evil Doll movies in Indonesia.
Oh,
right
you
now.
Love those.
I love him. So I'm very interested in this period.
Now, Vinegar
Indonesian
Syndrome. Are they
going to
step up and
right
release
now?
Those doll films you love that literally
99.9%
of people hate, except for Mark?
I don't know what people are on about, though. Those
people
movies
do
are
not like
super
them.
Fun. Well, okay. I wrote a very appreciative piece
in Little White Lies.
In Little White Lies about them, and I stand by that. I don't think those are coming out only because, I mean, until...
They're Netflix movies, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So until the recent ones, which... Thankfully, you helped me find because I could not find them anywhere. They've all been on Netflix, so I don't know. But interesting to note, Rocky Saraya made a tribute film to Susanna a few years ago called Susanna Buried Alive, fictional movie, but with like a Susanna-type heroine, basically, which is also very cool and worth checking out. I don't know what people are talking about. The people have no taste these days. People have no taste. Rocky Saraya's stuff's great.
Next up, we have Mike Hodges, The Terminal Man, starring George Segal.
Michael Crichton adaptation here,
baby. Oh, so you
watched
it.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm looking at it going, can I accidentally put this on the list
No,
again?
I put it on the list because I am a big fan of this book because we've talked about how we were Michael Crichton heads.
I was, yes.
Always loved this book.
The Great Train Robbery.
Yeah, basically about a guy who has seizures and stuff. So to try and cure those, he goes in for this, like, revolutionary experiment where they implant like nodes into his brain. Of course, it turns him into like a psycho killer. So, you know, because when he had these seizures, he would black out and then there'd be like evidence that he was doing violent stuff. So it just kind of enhances that. So as a kid, I thought that book was great and thought it was super trashy.
How's the movie?
Always wanted to see this. It's a little dull.
So it doesn't have that Mike Hodge, Flash Gordon camp.
I was reading
that
about
Get Carter grit.
You know, I love Get Carter. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love? And Mike Hodges is great.
Sylvester Stallone, so good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
That's what
we're
great talking
about. Movie. I mean, I love that Get Carter. When's that coming out from, you know, Vinegar Syndrome?
Vinegar Syndrome. That's going to come
That's
out from, like,
factory
yeah, Hollywood editions, dollar store bin.
Funny thing about this, though, is apparently, I read afterwards, I didn't know this, both Stanley Kubrick and Terrence Malick loved this film. They vouched so hard for this film. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of just dry. I can see why Kubrick might have liked it because there's definitely like a clinical, like the first half of this movie is like one extended surgery scene and just like this cold clinical fashion. So I think that's what Kubrick was probably liking about it. I'm not sure what Terrence Malick saw in this. It's okay.
Have you ever read all the projects of Terrence Malick? Like, he would shoot his mouth off all the time being
I know.
I want to take people in a mental institution and put cameras on their head, then let them go out, and then we'd make a movie out of that.
That's why you like this. I don't know. They also, George Segal plays the lead character, which was kind of against type at that time because he was mostly known for comedic roles. He's okay. He plays the scary kind of psycho thing okay. He wears a funny wig through most of it,
I like
which
that.
Is kind of funny. It wasn't as entertaining to me as I remember the book being, but... It's okay.
I'm sure you probably read the book and be like, not
yeah, I feel like the book probably doesn't. I mean, the book is like an airport paperback. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's that kind of thing. But yeah, it is finally. It's one of those underrated Michael Crichton or just underseen Michael Crichton adaptations. Nobody really talks about it anymore. But here's Shout Factory to rescue it. Not really any special features on this, though, unless they have stuff that isn't listed on the back.
That doesn't happen. Don't
you
try
said
to
that once. You said that one time.
It was once for Skylines.
Is that what it, I thought there was something else. Like,
no, was it Beyond
didn't
Skyline?
Was it Event Horizon or something, the show pack? You said there was more stuff.
Yes, it was Event Horizon that
right?
there was more
Wasn't
stuff.
That?
Yeah.
So
but that's
like
usually
married,
when there's and
know?
More.
That's true. That's
not
true.
When there's nothing. It's not that's not how it's gonna play out. So next up. We have Age of Demons. I should have almost made this our blind buy.
Is this one good? New Saturn's
good?
Cooler joint?
It's very
well, is it fun?
Odd because what it is it came out. Does it have the year here? I haven't seen it in a very
like
long
bottom,
time.
Maybe?
1993. And it was done by a guy who loved Japanese stuff.
Okay.
To the point that like he released like very odd dubs of Japanese films, some of them who have never been even released to this day.
Right, right.
And like he made that, or like subtitling like Hong Kong films and stuff like that. And this was his movie, very, very lo-fi. So don't
okay.
expect like, hey. Oh, Kung Fu Rascals or anything like that. is it like, no, it's only 77 minutes. And yeah, this is the stuff that I love that Saturn's Core is putting it. I haven't seen this in a long time,
so
but
you,
I love the
did
back.
Did you rewatch it before?
I did not rewatch.
Okay.
I didn't have
All
time,
right.
yeah. By presenting a brain scrambling amalgamation of high risk amateur kung fu stunts. See, when you read this, they're telling you what it is. If you
okay.
read amateur kung fu stunts, raucous
I mean,
punk
like
rock,
the sound of that.
Bursts of extreme gore, crude visual effects, and scads of gracious nudity. Notorious publisher, martial artist, filmmaker, an outspoken Satanist, Damon Foster,
what?
Turned heads in 1993 with Age of Demons. His homespun madcap SOV homage to the Asian tokusatsu and Kyoto Hero. I don't even know what Kyoto Hero is. I assume it's probably like a genre of. Like a primitive analog episode of Ultraman captured through the subversive camcorder lens of Hugh Gallagher. I don't even know who Hugh Gallagher is.
Don't know.
Age of Demons simultaneously revolts and charms with a blend of crude humor, harebrained homemade creature suits, and vibrant visual insanity.
I mean, sounds great.
Yeah.
Age of Demons, highly recommended by Justin, and I would like to check it out.
Even though that I haven't watched it in probably 15 years.
Well, you know, you sold me on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I read
not
the back.
Having, well, yeah.
And listen, I read that back, and I was like, I need this.
Yeah.
So, and I was
wish
like,
Saturn's Core had like a contact or something so I could get some like streaming links to at least check out some of these because they're hard to see otherwise.
Yep.
They don't even really have a webpage or anything because they're just like fully under the OCN umbrella and that's it. Like they don't.
Wait, this review. First few minutes were promisingly wavy. Uh-oh.
Oh.
But the rest of the runtime
yeah,
took more of a Power Rangers flavored kung fu hangout flick route.
Oh, I mean,
I like that
last.
Yeah.
I like that.
Next up, we have another OCN partner label release.
That's all we got this week.
Bill Plimpton's The Two.
Yeah, Def Crocodile put this one out.
They're like animation guys.
They're animation yeah. guys. I mean, they kind of started off with those like Finnish or Russian fantasy
yep.
epics, and now they're just like full steam ahead animation. A lot of the time, Euro animation, but this is their first American animated
If you do
project.
Not know Bill Plimpton, he's a guy that animates most Lee feature films by himself.
Yeah.
I think he may have an assistant here or there. Like, it's not.
I think he does now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but that's what, like, and because I think that it's probably like 3 frames of animation a second. Like, it's very low.
Oh, yeah.
I have this DVD
yeah.
of
I
the
mean,
two.
This was a legendary
I have
DVD.
It signed by him.
Yeah. That's out of print for
yep.
so long. This is probably his most famous film.
Is
I
it?
Say.
I thought, well, I Married Something from Outer
oh, yeah.
Space.
Yeah. That's pretty famous. Too.
Yeah.
I know this one has been preserved by the Academy
really?
Archive.
I was a little bit
whatever.
Cold on the tune when I remembered. But
I remember liking it.
That was a long time ago.
Part of it again, and I'm like, it's fun. It's still like the songs are, you know, the songs are good. I just like his animation style a lot. He obviously did tons and tons of shorts and everything,
yep.
some of which got folded into this film because
yep.
this was his first feature.
I oh, believe. Was it his first feature?
This was his
okay.
first feature, yeah. The thing with him is, I think this might be the first time one of his films has come out on Blu-ray.
Maybe has... I can't think of any because he owns all of his films I believe
yeah.
outright so.
I mean he's obviously a huge cult figure but I don't feel like he's had many physical releases past the DVD era of his stuff. I think The Tune is the first one to get like a nice deluxe one, so I hope there's more to come
yeah.
because his stuff looks great.
I saw Hair High at the Fantasia
amazing.
Film Festival
oh,
with
yeah?
Bill Plimpton in attendance.
See that's
my dad and brother were not big fans.
yeah
I didn't
yeah.
know what it was.
I don't know, stuff's like charming though.
It's very
it's
crude yeah
you know?
And a little bit slow paced because of what it is, so
I would say this is maybe a little more easy for
yeah
to
digest to
get into if you don't know who
his characters
is.
Are right. so hideous looking.
They are
like the noses like
oh man
yeah
love his stuff though. I think he's working on something. He had a Kickstarter for something.
Well, he's had
going.
Feature films come out there's no one's talked about.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He has a Kickstarter for something new, but not that anybody cares anymore, but they should because Bill Plimpton's cool.
But I mean, they do care. The
they
tune
do.
Sold out
Well, the two copies.
The tune of the two.
Unless people like tell me in advance, they
want
these.
Yeah, you need to pre-order it from the store,
especially with Vinegar Syndrome, because I can't send the stuff back, and it's like I don't get a ton unless people are telling me they will buy it. So, but I'll get more in because it did sell out very quickly.
Next up, we have Dancing in the Dust
and Beautiful City, which is a two-pack of early films from Asghar Farhadi.
That plagiarist himself?
Oh, yeah. He's a plagiarist, right?
Well, he was accused of plagiarism.
Well, I really like Asghar Farhadi.
Yeah,
I mean, who doesn't?
His movie rules. Yeah.
Huge, you know, he's like well accepted in the mainstream film conversation now. He's won like Oscars, what, twice now, I think? Yeah, he's won two Oscars now. I really love his stuff, though. I haven't seen either of these films, which I guess have not been available before now. I've seen a lot of his early stuff, but I didn't even really know about these two. Main reason I want to bring this up, though, is because it's a new partner label for OCN.
Oh, another one?
Film Movement.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this.
Yeah, I believe we did. This is the first Film Movement. So Film Movement was, of course, their own label. We got their stuff from... Now I have to get their stuff from OCN. They are fully...
So now you can't return them.
...folded into the OCN umbrella. I don't know how that happened or how long that was in the works for, but... So this is their first official, like, OCN release of their stuff, which, you know... I mean, it's a cool one to start with. I mean, he is very much beloved. And
in that classic Film Movement style, very light on the special features. Yeah.
And it's pricey. I mean, you do get two films.
There's a video essay and a 16-page booklet.
Yeah. But it's funny. They, like, really look exactly the same.
Same, yeah.
Because usually with the OCN stuff, they all have, like, a similar design style.
Yep.
No, they've kept the old Film Movement style on here, so...
I don't have too much to say about the next one. Waitress, the musical. Other than when I was working a desk job, I listened to this musical nonstop.
Did you really?
To musicals all the time because it's like a background thing.
Yeah,
very pleasant.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over. I can't even tell you what happens in this movie. Okay. I've never seen the live action film.
I've never even seen Waitress.
People really like it.
I know people loved it. And obviously at the time it was kind of eclipsed by the tragedy that
of Adrienne Shelley being murdered.
And I love her, so unfortunately, I don't know why I never saw this movie, though. I really like her, and this was her directorial debut, and everybody loved it.
But we're not talking about Waitress, we're talking about Waitress the Musical.
We're talking about Waitress the Musical, which I guess I just didn't even know this was a thing, that it was so popular.
I mean, you only sold a couple of copies because you had to bring in MOD, so.
The thing is, it's an MOD release from Decal, which is the...
Decal!
You know, it's the Neon, because I guess Neon owns it or something.
Oh, yeah, the poor man's Neon.
They released it as like a film version or whatever. Been very popular, though. We sold out of the few copies I brought in right away, and I've got names down for restock. So
wow, really?
People really like this.
Oh,
so,
cool.
I got to check out this film. I got to watch this.
Oh, is that Nathan Fillion?
Yeah, Nathan Fillion was the original.
In the original one, not in the musical.
And Carrie Russell, who I really like. So
yeah. Well, so add that to the list of the things that Justin listened to. That, the Groundhog Day musical. And
the Groundhog Day musical?
It's very good.
Wow. I love Groundhog Day.
It's by the guy, Tim Mitchin, who did the Matilda musical, which I do not like.
Okay.
And I've seen that live and the movie that came out last year on Netflix.
Okay.
Not good musical, which is weird because Groundhog Day, very good musical. Works very well with the material. And
no idea that was a musical.
There's a great song that if you just listen to it, not knowing what the context is, which is the Bill Murray character singing about like, you gotta keep going, you can't give up. And in the play, that song is sung when he's killing himself over and over again.
Okay. All right.
It's like, you can't give in, you gotta keep. That's great.
Nice.
Another Vinegar Syndrome release is our last movie.
I told you, that's all we got this week. That's all I got. It's been dry. It's been dry here in January.
Divinity. I don't know anything about this.
So I'm surprised. So I watched this. This is a new movie that they've put out with their Utopia label that played at Sundance.
I know why you're surprised. I looked into it and I saw
movie. It's from a director, Eddie Alcazar, who's a visual effects kind of artist guy.
You know how I feel about that.
But you know who's big on this guy?
Steven Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh has produced not just one, two of his feature films.
Wow.
Including his last movie, which was called Perfect, about a guy who goes to like a wellness center. It's basically like a cure for wellness.
Can we have no more wellness center movies? There's so many of them.
So I'm going to say right off the bat, I didn't really like this movie.
No, why not?
I didn't really like his previous film. Looks great. Okay.
Yeah.
Like you can tell this guy is like a visual effects
guy. But that's the curse of the visual effects artist movie. But then it's like
there's
empty and hollow.
It's just empty.
Yeah.
Like it looks beautiful. It's like this post-apocalyptic world where everybody's obsessed with perfection. So it's kind of like the same thing as his last one. Everybody's obsessed with perfection. One thing that really drew me to this stars Steven Dorff.
Oh, you love the Dorff, sir.
Steven Dorff plays this doctor guy who's a celebrity doctor.
I did read your Letterboxd review and I was like, Seems like he didn't like it, but he doesn't really indicate that in the review.
You know, I don't like dumping all over new movies, unless it's on this podcast, of course.
Yeah, and then you'll tag the friggin' label.
This guy will be fine. He's got Steven Soderbergh bigging him up all the time. Yeah, Soderbergh is a full-on producer of both of his films. Scott Bakula is in this movie, too.
I do love Scott Bakula. That's a Steven Soderbergh connection, because he was in a bunch of movies that Steven Soderbergh made.
He plays Steven Dorff's father, which is funny. I don't know. It's just, it looked cool.
Yeah, but it's just empty.
Like half an hour in, you're kind of like, all right.
I got it.
You know, I wrote in my review, it feels like warmed over Tsukamoto, because it does. It just feels like he's trying to do like Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Oh, so it's very hyperkinetic then?
It is, yeah, at times. And he does have some like, there's a bit of like.
Because you're making it sound like Beyond the Black Rainbow.
It's slow. Yeah, like it's a cool score. Yeah. And it's got some stop motion stuff that reminded me of like kind of some stuff that Mad God was doing. But it's also it's stop motion mixed with live action in an interesting way. So
kind of
visually,
like a subspecies or the gate.
Yeah, you got it.
Or a puppet master too.
Visually, very cool.
Yeah.
Story-wise, I didn't get much out of it though. But I just thought I'd bring it up because I'm like, I don't know. I thought you might have known about this guy because you're the Sody head here. But
I can't. It's tough to follow what Soderbergh is doing.
It's just funny that, like, I don't know if he's put his weight behind a new filmmaker as much as this guy.
So Soderbergh,
recently,
everyone he's put his weight behind,
because they
none
all
of them,
say produced by Steven Soderbergh.
None of them have been successful.
No, I know.
Because, like, Soderbergh, the movies he picks are, like, so, like, odd.
Yeah.
So, like, the director of Clean Shaven.
Oh, of course, Lodge Kerrigan.
Yeah, he
but
was
I
really
love
behind
Lodge
him.
Kerrigan.
I mean,
he's
the only
great
directors who had a lot of success that Steven Soderbergh helped make their first film, the Russo brothers.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because he.
Welcome to Collingwood.
Executive
right?
produced Welcome to Collingwood.
I don't even like that movie.
It's so, such like it's warmed so, over Coen
right?
brothers. Yeah.
I remember even at the time as a kid not even liking
it. What other
that
films
movie?
Did Steven Soderbergh produce that.
I'm sure he's shown up on. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lodge Kerrigan, he's managed to give like a pretty decent career, like at least on
TV. Yeah, even though
like,
his last film couldn't get released.
Girlfriend Experience, he was.
Oh, yeah, he worked on the TV show.
In that, like a lot, right? And it's funny when you say that, because even with this guy, Eddie Alcazar, neither of his movies have been that well received critically. Like even this one got like mixed reviews.
What happened to The Spiral?
And his last one got terrible reviews.
Wait, no, it wasn't Spiral. What was the one? What Arrow put it out, right? That Steven Soderbergh helped kind of get it through the door. What was
sure.
it called? Now it's driving me nuts.
Kind of familiar.
I'm going to say it, and you're going to be like, oh, yes, of course.
Probably, yeah.
It's not called Spiral. It's like two faces, like it's like in black and white on the cover.
It's not that Shane Carruth.
No, not the Shane
starring movie, right?
Yeah, Steven Soderbergh. He was big.
He was though, right? Didn't he support Shane?
Yeah, he did. Shane Carruth. Does he show up in a cameo in something in one of his movies? I know he helped on like Ocean's 12 or something like that. I'm looking here, producer. Oh, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Oh, he got behind the Scott Mann, the guy who did like Godless. And
right. Yeah, I don't really.
He was an associate producer on The Sweet Blood of Jesus.
Was he? Really?
Spike Lee,
Okay.
Oh, I believe that's because that was a crowdfunded movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that stuff doesn't really count.
Oh,
though,
no.
You know?
And he also, he produced the Bill and Ted movie, the last one that came
really?
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
But I want to, like, what are some early filmmakers?
Yeah, those are things he's not throwing his whole weight behind, though. It's like,
what's Criminal?
Oh,
2004.
Criminal. Well, that's his boy, Greg Jacobs.
Oh, so the Windchill.
Yeah, so he's put his weight behind
Suture.
Him.
Suture.
Oh, Suture.
That's what I was thinking
You're
of.
You're right. I love Suture. Suture's
oh, he also
great.
Produced Greg Mottola's The Day Trippers.
Oh, okay. So he did
Not a filmmaker that,
you know, just
Adventureland, I guess. He did Superbad, right? Which is what
he got really big. I did not realize he got behind Suture.
Yeah, he did. Well, so he didn't produce it, but he saw like a rough screening of it.
Right.
And he really, I don't even think he could get anyone to buy it with
really?
His, like, but that was 1993.
Yeah. That is a fantastic film.
Love Suture.
I think that Arrow releases out of print now.
Really?
Too. I don't think that's available anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
If it is,
I feel like that
somebody
one
needs to re-release it.
Oh, that's right. Speaking of someone that Soderbergh is a huge fan of, the director of Pleasantville.
Oh, Gary Ross.
He loves Gary Ross. He did.
Hey, I mean, I love Pleasantville.
He did Second Unit on The Hunger Games.
Yep.
He gave Gary Ross Ocean's 8.
My God.
Gary
Ross is funny because I really do like have such fond memories of Pleasantville. Nothing after that I've had any interest in.
Is he just like a great talker in the room?
I don't know.
Steven Soderbergh loves this dude.
Yeah.
He does commentary on Seabiscuit.
No way.
He does as Gary Ross.
Never. I don't think I've seen another Gary Ross movie past Pleasantville.
So how do you know you won't love him then?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll love Seabiscuit, you know?
Yeah, he hasn't really gotten behind anything other than that. I guess he's just busy with his own projects.
Yeah. No, it's just funny with this guy is like he, every time I've heard about this Eddie Alcazar, it's always in tandem with Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you get it
out
there.
That's how you push new films.
But
I was just like, why this guy?
Is it like a Soderbergh curse? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, because this guy's not... I mean, clearly he's got his film released by Vinegar Syndrome, mm-hmm. so it's not like he's doing that poorly. And he also does a lot of music video where apparently he works with Flying Lotus a lot on like music video stuff.
Yeah.
So he's not exclusively just like a feature filmmaker. I think he's got a lot of things going on. But yeah, it's funny. The critical reaction to his films, despite them getting out there because of Soderbergh, has not been great. I remember his first film, Perfect, got terrible, absolutely brutal reviews by critics. And this one...
Man,
a little better.
Very surprised that the directors of Suture have done stuff. They've continued to work together.
Yeah, Scott McGahee and or.
Yep, you're right. Scott McGahee and Don. Wait, I close the window here.
Something Siegel, I think.
David Siegel. But like, you never hear anyone like The Deep End with Tilda Swinton.
That was good. I like The Deep End.
B Season with Richard Gere.
I actually like B Season. B Season is not a bad little
film.
What
is Uncertainty?
Oh, that's the film with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and I can't remember the actress where it starts and they both...
Lynn Collins.
They both...
Is it a split screen movie?
Yeah. They both do the same day in different ways. It follows him and then it follows her on like... But they go and meet the other version of themselves. It's like they live the same day twice sort of thing. I remember seeing that at TIFF long ago with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And what
attended.
Maisie knew.
That one I haven't seen. I think that's a Henry James adaptation.
These movies,
actually.
I gotta say, like, they don't exist.
To be honest, I'm actually a fan of those guys.
Montana.
I haven't seen their recent stuff.
Montana Story?
I haven't seen that. Oh, no, I did see that.
It's
not
got,
good.
It's
not
got
good.
The stink of TIFF on it.
I saw
like,
that
TIFF.
Yeah. That one was not good. I haven't liked their stuff recently, but up until B Season, I would say, like their 90s, early 2000s run, I actually really liked them.
How is Deep End? Is it, do you
it's
remember?
Good.
Okay. Is it as visually
got,
kind of like striking
cool,
as?
Yeah, because it's like a small town murder mystery type thing with Tilda Swinton. I remember Tilda Swinton was getting a lot of acclaim at the time. Mm. They were talking about maybe like an Academy Award nomination. Don't think it ever happened.
Man, they pushed through.
It's basically
because...
where it's like her son maybe
murdered
somebody
and
she's trying to like cover it up
and she's jogging in the woods
and
she's
on
the phone
exactly.
Wait, what is that
phone?
Movie you know which one I'm talking about,
Lakewood or something, the Naomi Watts one
it's like a school shooting, it's like
desperate hours.
Speaking of the TIFF stinker you saw,
I live for those TIFF stinkers. I absolutely live for them.
Yeah, because they directed Suture in 1993 and they didn't do their second film until 2001.
I know, but I remember it being very highly acclaimed at the time. Because, I think Suture just took a while to kind of grow that cult
It just
audience,
didn't have an audience
you know?
For it at that time.
Suture is excellent.
I love Suture. Yeah. Great.
And
very
if you
weird.
Like that, check out Uncertainty because it does some of the same
very,
things.
Very Japanese-like, and they talk a lot about that in their commentary.
Oh, totally.
And not like when you hear like, oh, it's like a Japanese film. There's an aesthetic of like, oh, like samurai. No, not like that. More like experimental.
Oh, yeah. Great early role for Dennis Haysbert, too.
Oh, he's great
excellent
in that movie.
In it, yeah.
All right, so that's it for this week's episode of the Bay Street Video Podcast. Until next week, my name is Justin The Clue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting.
Video, it's what you wanna watch. Michael Crichton adaptations?
Did we do that?
I feel like we've done that, yeah.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
I mean, yeah, I like Michael Crichton adaptations for the most part.
I'm just looking at the stack and I'm like, what can we talk about?
Like a lot of this stuff we've talked about.
What are
before.
The great HBO movies that have not had Blu-ray releases? I'm looking at Red Rock West, which
was that
I don't
an HBO movie?
I don't think so, but I associate it because of like The Last Seduction.
It feels like it should
it feels
be,
like
right?
an HBO movie.
Okay, well, here's a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
You ever seen Mistrial from the mid-90s?
No, I've never
Bill
heard
Pullman?
Of it before.
So Bill Pullman plays a cop who's kind of like dubious, right?
Yeah.
Gets a perp. And he basically, we're in the trial and everything, but then the evidence about how Bill Pullman may have planted evidence or whatever comes out so that the trial is going to get thrown out. Bill Pullman whips out a gun, takes the courtroom hostage.
Whoa, it's a real money monster.
Becomes a whole media circus. Great, fun HBO movie. I don't think it's ever going to get a Blu-ray release, though. What about you?
The Second Civil War, the Joe Dante movie.
Yeah,
very good.
I feel like that's a Warner archive waiting to happen. Right
there's
there.
One that I read a lot of bad reviews about, but then I watched it after its director passed away, Anthony Hickox, and it rules. It's called Invasion of Privacy, and it's a Larry Cohen script.
Right.
And it's like really high concept, which is like a woman breaks up with a guy, and he's very possessive, and then he learns she's pregnant. And then he takes her to a cabin and like forces her to give birth.
Okay.
And then it starts into like a media circus where he paints himself as a hero who kidnapped his wife so she wouldn't have an abortion. And then she's painted as a villain. But like tons of split screen. Basically, Anthony Hickok's his most Brian De Palma like movie.
Okay.
A lot of questions about choice and like, but intelligently like like gone around and like, oh yeah, the public would probably turn because of the narrative of like the man trying to, even though he's like, he's insane. The entire movie, like a pure psycho.
That sounds good. That sounds pretty good.
Other than that,
like
The Hitcher is coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, Hitcher is coming out from Umbrella. So not North America yet, though. They still... What's going on?
Vinegar Syndrome is going to...
A month after Vinegar Syndrome will announce it.
What are some other HBO movies?
You know, one I like, because I'm a big Pierce Brosnan head, The Heist. You ever seen that?
No.
Really generic title, obviously, from the late 80s, I want to say, or early 90s, when he was doing that, like, Taffin, Livewire, like all those action movies. It's fun. It's just
maybe you shouldn't be living here. Sorry, said Taffin. I couldn't help myself.
But it's fun. It's like a pretty, you know, generic heist movie, but he brings energy. I always remember enjoying it as a kid.
I'm looking HBO original movies and it's just like, what's on Max? And it's like, that's not what I want. Like,
I mean, there's newer stuff.
I don't want like Game Change on
Phil Spector, the Phil Spector movie.
The David Mamet
one? Al Pacino and Helen Mirren.
Wearing that giant wig.
I always had fun with that. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm looking here. 10 best HBO original movies.
You know what? The Night Flyer.
Oh, I love The Night Flyer.
When's The Night Flyer?
You know what? I don't know if I love The Night Flyer, because I remember watching it and thinking it did feel like a Tales from the Crypt episode that just happened to be 90 minutes.
I love it.
That monster looks great, and it's a great starring role for Miguel. Isn't it Miguel?
No, Miguel Ferrer. Yeah, sorry. Jose Ferrer, maybe not alive at that point.
It's his father, I believe. Okay. It's a great starring role for Miguel Ferreira. He's great in that movie.
He's
like
so
a slimy
because
reporter.
He plays the slimy reporter. Yeah. Night Flyer fucking rules, though. I feel like
it's weird they didn't do more horror
out,
films,
you know?
Right? But I think it's just behind that HBO, like, we don't care. It can't get out
that
there.
That only exists in a really crappy, non-anamorphic DVD.
Yeah,
Snapper case.
Oh, you made me do it.
And I don't have it. I wish I had that Snapper case.
I don't recognize any of these, like Wit from 2001 starring Emma Thompson.
Yeah, that was Mike Nichols' film, I think.
Some of these are too early. Like
A lot of them are more... We're not talking about the prestige HBO movies here.
But like a lot of them where you're like, how come that's never come out? It's like, it's an HBO movie.
Yeah,
that's like a big kind of...
Well, there was like If These Walls Could Talk. There was like a whole wave of like prestige HBO movies with like
but then
big
we want
stars,
the like...
But I'm like, I want the genre stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Stephen King co-wrote The Night Flyer too.
Yeah.
He was involved in it.
Yeah.
Even though, usually, his movie taste.
I usually don't like his movie taste, but it worked.
It worked pretty good.
Really, like, you know, love that little guy, The Night Flyer.